The whole music industry is rooted in Satan's work because it's fleshly. Romans 8 says we can't please God in the flesh. And so if the people are singing, they're doing their worship song, and I see these people, they're jumping up and down, they're dancing. I have literally seen where the power went out. The power went out, and the music goes. People all stop. They go, what happened? What happened? Oh, well, we had a power outage. Oh, okay. They all get on their phones. The worship of God stops when the music stops. What does that tell you? That it's the music. Music is a drug. It is. They've proven that music can send, what do they call it, dopamines, like drugs and like sex can send to your brain. Music is a powerful drug. So these places that do all this stuff, they know that it woos people's flesh. In Acts 2, when Peter said, repent, did he break out the harp music and get the band going and they all...
So you didn't think that the early Christians, when they went to the temple...
That's different. Hold on. That's different. That's temple. Now we're talking about temple worship. Actually, the early Christians didn't go to the temple to worship the way we know it. They actually were gathering in homes. That's where they gathered. Oh, yeah. The temple was the Torah system. And when Christ died, that temple system was done away with. And the veil was torn. And now we have access. We don't need that temple anymore. The Jews tried to keep it going, so much so that Paul, who was a Pharisee of Pharisees, history says he could have been the next high priest. Go read Philippians. I'm doing a verse-by-verse study through it right now. And he said, Philippians, he said, everything's dung compared to knowing Jesus Christ. All of his religious training. So if your pastors have, I talk to pastors that have double doctorate degrees, and they can't go to the Bible and refute one word I say because all I have is God's truth. I don't have anything else. All of their learning is dung compared to the knowledge. It says the knowledge of Jesus Christ. And so, no, the early saints did not use instrumental music. Jesus gave us the Lord's Supper in Matthew 26, and they sang a hymn. No instrumental music. Remove the flesh from your life. All the flesh has to go. Chosen is a fleshly miniseries. They don't even do it out of the Bible. They make stuff up, Ron. They're not even doing it from the scriptures. They're making it up. They make Jesus a comedian. I saw one clip. I got to watch my wife if a mocker comes.
That's fine.
Okay, he's walking away. I saw one clip. I know I don't watch it, but I do. I have a testing on it, so I have one clip. I saw one where the disciples were arm wrestling. Okay, first of all, if you think the disciples were caring about who was physically stronger than the other, that's just ridiculous. Ready? And one of the disciples like beats the other disciple. And you know what? Jonathan Rumi, the so-called Jesus, says in front of everybody, and they laugh. Oh, even I didn't see that coming. Do you see how disingenuous that is? He's God. He knows the future. Laughing about an arm wrestling session. So what they do is, Dallas Jenkins is a heretic. He brings Jesus down to a level where the worldly carnal people can be amused by him with a false gospel and a false Jesus. And it's bringing Catholics, evangelicals, Mormons, and everyone together into, I believe, what's going to be a one-world religion one day. It's coming. And the Bible is accurate and true. The last days are here. COVID was a test run for it. It's going to come. It's going to get even worse. So all these things I'm telling you put you in a place where if you truly, it's going to be a test for you, Ron. If you truly love Jesus, you're going to lose all those things that are false. And you're going to walk in holiness and righteousness. And it's going to pull you from everyone that you know that doesn't want that same path. And it's going to set you apart to be holy. Right now, you're compromised in man-made religion. But if you really are of Christ, you must be set apart to be holy. Does all that make sense?
Yeah.
Yeah.
And look, this is your...
Yeah, that's our website, don'tperish.com. And the other side is my email. And if you email me and you're serious about truth, I'll send you my cell phone. You and I can call. We can text. I'll Bible study with you. And if you're a true follower or a seeker of Christ, I'll hook you up with brothers that I know. And we'll go to the Word. And you must come out. You must be a Noah in your generation. And I'm telling you, these churches are not getting it done. They are compromised. They live in sin. They're a stench. Go read Revelation 2 and 3. Jesus says, there's things you haven't done right. You've stained your garment. I'll come and remove your lampstand. These churches, they're not even the churches of Christ. Those were the true churches of Christ. These are nothing but, I got to say it, in love, they're goat farms. You may be a sheep of God. You've listened a long time. Those are mostly goat farms. Line up all those people you go to church with. Not many would stand and listen as you have, I can promise you.
Well, I have kind of a different background in terms of how I came to know Christ.
Uh-huh.
And because another young person invited me to a youth gathering.
Yeah.
And I saw something there that I didn't see when I was being raised in a Lutheran church.
Yeah.
Because they had a genuine interest in studying the word, which I didn't see in the
Right, Wizards. yeah. They just do liturgical religion and stunts and
Yeah, and that's where I first found what the scripture said about what it means. You have to make the decision yourself. Your parents couldn't make it for you.
No.
And so it was actually through that group of young people within that body that helped me understand what the scripture actually said about giving your life to Christ. And that's when I truly placed my faith in Christ and was immersed in water baptism.
Yeah.
And so I think and I'll look at your site.
You might see you're on a journey. See, here's the thing, ready? Salvation is not a one-time thing. Mm-hmm. Like people say, come up to me and say, oh, I got saved 30 years ago. No, you didn't. That's like saying you got married 30 years ago and I say, where's your wife? And you go, oh, I don't know. I left her somewhere and I never went back and got her. It's a covenant. It's a blood covenant. Mm-hmm. The marriage is a covenant between a man and a woman. We both have to do our part. Mm-hmm. We're in a blood covenant. Jesus did his part perfectly. We must do our part. Our works follow after our Savior. He's the life rope that comes out in the ocean to save us. And our faith and our works is holding onto the life rope as tight as we can. If we let go of the life rope, can he save us?
No.
So it's faith plus works, James 2. We don't work our way there. But here's the thing. You're on a journey. That was good, just like in my life. Somebody in a unbiblical, I'll just tell you, it was a Pentecostal church. And I saw this jumping up and down, this tongue talk and all this craziness. And I knew I was a 17-year-old pagan. And I went, this doesn't seem right. But I heard about Jesus shedding his blood. That was the doorway for me. So God, do you believe this? God can use pornography for his glory.
Yeah, in various ways he can use most anything.
Yeah, you know, because he could take a man who's addicted to porn and thinks he has no way out and he's ready to kill himself, and somebody gives him a gospel and he starts following Christ and he rises this man up to be a great man of God, and then his testimony is, I almost killed myself. I was a prisoner to porn and lust and my flesh, but God saved me. See, God can use all these things. We can. We couldn't set up a false church and get people closer and then a little better church to get them a little closer and then a better church. We can't do that. What we do is preach the truth, but God uses incremental steps for his glory. So you may be on that path. That youth group moved you out of Lutherans. That I don't know how you got to your current non-denominational, but you're going to have to make that next step before you die, because you are practicing and united to false ways, and that's not the fruit that God's in you. You must be walking in holiness and righteousness. And I will promise you something. If you think those people at your church love Jesus and want truth, 1 John 5:3 says, this is the love of God, that we keep his commands. You and I could stand out with gospel signs outside that building and call them to repentance and see how many people will come, test everything they believe to the scriptures, and begin to jettison everything that's not aligned with scriptures. I can almost promise you that's not going to happen, Ron. If that happens, my wife and I will come and move there, and we'll be their best workers for months and months and months, and we will serve them if that happens. I've made that offer to many people. I've never had to move yet. I wish I had to someday. Most of them all collapse back in their system. Comfortable religion. We like the songs. We like the coffee bar. We like the pastor. He gives us good little tidbits. And then we go watch the Packers. Or here I'm in Minnesota, the Vikings. I used to be that guy. I wasn't a churchgoer then, but I used to be that worldly guy that still had a faith. And I had to repent and leave that all behind. Minnesota Vikings, let's go there. It's a big deal. Violent, covetous, grossly immodest, rowdy, prideful. I just gave you five sins about the NFL. Let's throw another one in. They promote LGBT. How can any saint watch that and say, look at them, they kneel in the end zone and pray to God? Jesus covered that in Matthew 15. You worship me with your lips, but your hearts are far from me. Men like Tim Tebow, you know who he is? Wicked men that he sits there and works out. I think he's still doing steroids, and he wears skin tight t-shirts, and he talks about his Jesus and how it's so good if you know Jesus. He's a worldly, carnal, compromised man. He is a worker of Satan with all of his. He's united in ecumenical ways with a whole bunch of different groups. Go to the pure word. Go to holiness. Philippians 4:8. Whatever is good, pure, true, worthy, noble, focus on those things.
Now that he is led a ministry of reaching out to human trafficking victims.
That's a big deal.
And has brought, I don't know how many thousands out of it.
Okay.
And then many of them have become followers of Christ.
Right, but are they biblical followers of Christ like we're talking about? So, you know, the Roman Catholics do a lot of good works, and many people become Roman Catholics because of it. They feed a lot of people, and that's how they do their evangelism. Does that mean they're going to gain eternal life?
No.
Yeah, he does good works. Satan has many men that do good works. I know atheists that do good works. I know Muslims that do good works. My daughter is a New Ager. You know what a New Ager is?
It's the old bad
literally, the third eye, the meditating, the fire dancing, the believing that the earth is God, our Gaia mother. I was born again after my children were all gone. My children aren't believers. I have one son who knows this is the truth, but he can't. The cost is too great, he says, and he won't follow Christ right now. I said, I hope you live long enough to make the decision. But my daughter, who's a New Ager, I mean, she's literally like worshiping Satan and following demons. She would give you her last $10, Ron. She's a wonderful, warm-hearted, loving person. That don't mean nothing. So it's about doctrine. 1 Timothy 4:16 says, continue in sound doctrine. That's instruction in the faith. By which you are saved, and them that hear thee. How are you saved by sound doctrine? Because we're working our way to salvation? No, we're saved in sound doctrine because Jesus is the truth, and if he's the truth, we're right on his coattails, we're following him, you're obeying him, we're close and we're on tight to him. Like they would try to grab his garment when they walk by. We're tight to his doctrine, that's why we're saved. Look at Jesus, look at him, don't look at me, look at him. But if we're going, we kind of do our own thing. Yeah, Jesus, we kind of do our own man-made thing. We don't have the truth, then you won't be saved. So, awesome talking to you.
I appreciate your time.
Yeah, man, I love you. Can I give you a hug?
Sure, sure.
I care for your soul, man. I really do. I hope to hear from you. Email me. If anything I've said to you is unbiblical and you can prove it, call me. And I do have one last thing. Say you share this with somebody in your church. Hey, I met the street preacher. I can promise you, unless your pastor is a seeker of truth, he's going to go, let me see that. Oh, they're a cult, Ron. Their workspace, ready? They're legalists. You're going to say all this stuff that he can't back up in Scripture because it is legalistic to follow God's law. We're supposed to. Do you see that cop? He wants me to obey the law. Is he legalistic? No, he's righteous. I'm supposed to obey the law. Yeah. God, it's not legalistic unless we add things to God's word for salvation like the Pharisees were doing. And Jesus refuted the Pharisees. He rebuked them. Have you thought about this, Ron, as you go? Last thought. Jesus rebuked the Pharisees wickedly. Not wickedly. He rebuked wicked men, harsh. Matthew 23. Hypocrite, hypocrite, hypocrite. What did he rebuke them for? The washing of pots and cups and other such things you do and hypocrisy. Do this, people, while they do something different. If he came back today, he would look at the non-denoms, your church, these other churches, and he'd go, pagan holidays, false Jesus, false gospel, worldliness, carnality, being friend of the world. James 4:4 says that makes you an enemy. Jesus would have a mountain of evidence against today's churches versus the Pharisees. They were the most moral people on the face of the earth, Ron. They were. They were keeping Torah law. Jesus even said, everything they tell you to do, do it. Just don't do it the way they do it. So think about that. If Jesus came back, he would just rebuke these churches. He'd be flipping over tables and he'd burn the building. He's coming back in 2 Thessalonians 1, flaming fire to destroy all those that don't know God and don't obey the gospel. He's coming back to destroy politics. He's coming back to destroy sports, media, entertainment, all the church systems that are not of him. I want you to be on that right side when that judgment comes. Love to hear from you sometime.
Okay, appreciate your time.
Thank you.
I do hope that you'll reach some people who don't know Christ yet.
Consider the chosen. Consider that.
I will.
Consider putting things on your temple. If God built a temple, you wouldn't spray paint on it, would you? You wouldn't hang signs and stuff on it, would you? This is supposed to be the temple of God. Use advertisement with signs, preaching, gospel cards. Keep the body holy. Get in line with Scripture. Start dressing fully biblical. And people will start going, what's up with you? It will open the door for a lot of witnessing and conviction. And they'll go, he's right. We do all show our bodies off like crazy. We're not supposed to be doing that. We're supposed to cover ourselves up. These are sin coverings, not fashion statements.
Okay.
It's never changed from Genesis 3. It's the archetype of Jesus shed blood. And there's so many things that I want to teach people, and I do at my website, that they must go deeper. The churches, ready? The churches have a standard down here, Ron. I'm pointing way down at the ground. Christ's standard is, he said, your righteousness must surpass the Pharisees. That means you need his perfect righteousness, and then you got to keep his ways. If you love me, keep my commandments, he said, John 14:15. I hope I hear from you.
Well, I will like the Bereans, go and test everything by scripture and see.
Yep, and if your pastor ever says those things about me, I want you to do one thing. I want you to say, well, you know what? This guy likes to talk. He's willing to talk. Hey, pastor, let's get him on the phone. I'll listen. You listen. And you and him talk. And you can tell him man to man, not gossip behind my back. I won't gossip behind your pastor's back. Get me a phone call. I'll tell him all the stuff to his face. And you tell this man to post all of his stuff he has wrong. And then he says he's got a bunch of questions for you. I've made that offer to probably several thousand pastors via email, talking. Guess how many have taken up that offer, Ron? Zero. Because they hide in the dark. John 3:19-21, Jesus said, the light has come, he's the light. But men love their sin, their compromise, their darkness, and they hide in the darkness because the light reproves them. So I hope you come into the full light, and I'm here to help you. I'd love to have another brother going deep in the scriptures.
I appreciate the talk.
Thank you, Ron.
Yes.
We love you.
All right.
God be praised.
Thank you.